December 7, 2022, it's WAF Pedro Show.
Would you say that you're trying to play everything you hear one time or something like that?
No, there are some set things that I know, some devices that I know, harmonic devices that I know that will take me out of the ordinary path, you see, if I use these. But I haven't played them enough, and I'm not familiar with them enough yet to take the one single line through them, so I play all of them. You know, trying to acclimate my ear so I can hear, you know.
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Started off with Carl Eric Lindgren on March 22nd, 1960, right? We're talking 62 years ago. Asking John Coltrane if he's trying to play everything he hears. And then we had Joey Conroy with Rouse Brown Mouse. And because of those Skype engineers in Estonia, we got the technology to bring you all the way from Louisville. Joey Conroy, welcome aboard, Joey.
Hey, Mike. Great to be here.
Most kind. And we got to thank right away Tom Dale for making the connect. Beautiful man. And people ask me about the old days. I say it was about people. I think the new days is about people, too.
Absolutely.
So, Joey, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man. My earliest musical recollection as a kid. Hearing my mother's record collection, which was about 32 records. I think every adult and who had a record player had these same 32 records. They were all, soundtracks. Oklahoma, Annie Get Your Gun.
Musical.
South Pacific. And then once a week, we'd go over to my neighbor's house, Penny. She was ancient. She worked with my mom. And she played Sandler and Young records. And the tune... I don't even remember why I was talking about that. Because, but you asked for my earliest memories about music.
That's right.
And I had a Travis radio, and I used to hide under the blankets for my favorite songs. At that point, which were the Beach Boys, I Get Around, and Paul Revere and the Raiders, Kicks. I love those songs.
Okay.
And the line in the Beach Boys song... Yeah, my friends and me are getting real well known. The bad guys know us, and they leave us alone. Really had an enormous impact on my life.
That's a great one. You know, Sam and the Pharaohs, right? Willy Bully, don't be
right.
L7.
Yeah, right.
Don't be L7. They knew how to write words in the 60s. Joey.
They really did. Those old records.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Beach Boys Live, Before I Get Around.
And what was the first
game? I think the first record I bought as an adult with my own money was, people bought me records. They had Herman's records and Monkees records and Beatles records, Moody Blues records even. But the first record I bought with my own money was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Deja Vu.
Okay.
That opening line on Carry On. My mom had just died, and that song just meant everything to me. The harmonies, everything.
What was the first gig you saw?
Allman Brothers.
Okay.
Back in 72. Dwayne had just died, but Barry Oakley was still alive. And that concert changed my life because I'd not smoked pot or anything, but people everywhere were smoking pot, and I'm sure I was high. And I remember just physically thinking, what makes this band sound so good? And they had just launched into this instrumental Les Brères in A minor. And I swear to God, a lightning bolt just shot up my spine. And if I can get that to happen to anybody else in life, I'll have lived a life worth living.
Now, this pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No. And my family's incredibly unmusical.
Okay,
as close to musical as my family was, my dad used to get drunk and sing Irish tunes.
And what about at school, were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I went to Catholic school, so we had to sing, but no, none of that. I was a visual artist. I was really interested in being a visual artist. And at 16, I decided I wanted to be a musician instead, with no, absolutely nothing to go by. And I gave up doing drawings. I mean, I still did it through high school, but I started playing guitar at 16.
Okay.
Just self-taught.
Why did you pick the guitar?
The Allman Brothers. Eric Clapton. Okay. There's a solo on Clapton's Let It Rain. He kind of lifted the song from Stephen Stills, I later found out. But he did two solos. One was in his really pretty woman tone, and then the other was that Fender sound that was just...
Just what? Fuck, I lost.
I mean, I can still play that solo. It's really nice.
Okay,
let
me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Joey. What was your first guitar?
A Hagstrom. It was a piece of crap.
Electric or acoustic?
It was electric.
And what was your first amp?
I didn't get it. I don't know how I got hold of this thing, but I had this giant bass custom, you know, with the roll top.
Yeah, padded.
And it was for bass guitar. It was a crappy amp. I couldn't move it anywhere. It was
Hey, by the way, that solo on Steely Dan, Reelin' in the Years, Elliot Randall did that on it. He did that on an SVT amp because there was nothing else in the studio. It just turned up all the way.
No kidding.
I wouldn't shit you, Joey. So you took no lessons. Did you learn off records? So, Joey, you're saying you never took any lessons. You were self-taught. You learned off records.
Right.
Okay. Now, did you do anything like, not after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band?
I was asked to join a band by this kind of legendary Louisville character, Chris Lee. He's a great guitar player, and he needed another guitar player in the band. He's really at the center of the growth of the punk rock scene here, although that's not what he did. He had a band called, it was a little bit more Zappa, Beefheart-like, called Boomerang Pie. Pie symbol, got it?
Right, right. And were you part of Boomerang Pie?
I was. I was a second guitar player. And
do you remember, Joey, do you remember your first gig with the Pie?
Yeah. At the Ecumenical Center at U of L.
Now, was that your first gig ever?
Yes.
And how was it?
Yes. It was fucking great. I felt like on top of the world. And we, not long after that, Bill Laswell and Material, they were called the Zoo Band then, came to town, stayed at my house, and my band got to open for that with Gong and Yasko Sefer and Mother Gong.
And what was your Giorgio what was Gavis, your band?
Boomerang Pie.
Oh, I thought that was that other cat's band.
No, that was another cat's band, but that band got to do it. And we had this epic tune called the Guitar Massacre, the Guitar Massacre, basically. It was like a punk operetta where I was going to chainsaw a guitar in half. And I thought I was going to make rock history. But right before I go on, Bill Laswell what I was going to do. And he goes, oh, you know, there's a band in New York that just did that. I said, well, they didn't put it on a record, did they?
I think, I think Tab Falco did it on, like, a local access television show in Memphis with Panther.
Really? What year?
In the late 70s sometime.
Yeah, this would have been 78, so.
Maybe you beat. I don't know who was first, but, you know, I'm into it. I think Wendy Williams ended up using chainsaws and shit.
Yeah, I think she gets the credit, and rightfully so, you know, like.
Look, I want to play this Danny Dutton in the Secret Commonwealth.
Sure.
Thank you. shot the boys on May. I fed through, went through Billy and proved the bartender's looking glass. I met that bad man. Yeah, cool.
For Pedro Show, start off that chunk of music with Danny Dutton and the Secret Commonwealth doing Visitors. Then we had Spot, my old buddy from the SST days, up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin these days. This is Kutaito. Then Boris, they got a brand new record. And this is Chapter 1. We played the epilogue last edition. This is Chapter 1, Howlin' Moon, Melting Sun. Yeah. And then Ott out of Texas with Unquelled Razorin. Yeah, brother Chris Kroger, incredible cat. Model Home out of the D.C. area featuring Mike Patil with Thank You, Thank You with the U. That's Model Home. Bombas Prendon, same general area. Uncaged and Standing in Line. Death Tape Super Bass. They were on the show a month ago. Chaos Helmet. Finally, Joey Conroy, Danny Dutton, Susan Alcorn with Stagger Lee. Everybody knows Stagger Lee. So, okay, Boomerang Pie. Kind of Captain Beefheart, Captain Frank Zappa.
Yeah, it was all songs about, like, monsters, and you know, it was a mock rock. We had songs about the Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that.
And how many piece?
Two guitars, a guy who sort of played keyboards, Bob Fuller. He was kind of the Eno of the group. We had a drummer. We had Jeff Jones on keyboards and saxophone, and Eddie Bartley, I think, was the bass player. A friend of mine lives in San Francisco now.
Did you do any recording?
I don't have any of those recordings, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you didn't flow me any, and so. But this was an important thing. This was a fundamental step in your musical thing, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and like you said in school, you had to sing because choir, right? The church thing and stuff.
Yeah.
But did you do any kind of music in school?
No.
Okay. It was all outside. It was all outside. So when you do graduate, do you go up to higher learning?
Yeah, I went to Catholic high school. which was kind of nothing for me. And I got into the University of Louisville, and there I sort of met my tribe and formed my first band. My first band that I formed was a band called Sonic Decay.
Okay.
And it was kind of an attempt to bring like an improvisational Pink Floyd type sound into, you know, the punk thing.
And were you composing by this time?
I was trying.
Well, when you say improvise, that's kind of composing in the moment, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I had ideas, but they weren't really compositions that I would think of. They were just like ways of getting music kickstarted.
And did you have like a four track, a cassette, or something like this? Were you recording?
No,
yourself?
Nothing like that.
No, nothing
like that.
Okay.
So I didn't really start doing anything like that until Ute Greet formed, and when I moved to Santa Cruz in the 1981 or 79, and by 81 I had formed Ute Greet with David Stilley, who still lives in Santa Cruz, and James Potter, who now lives in Portland, Oregon.
And what was the name of the band?
Ute Greet, and that's the band I still have today.
Okay,
we're going on our fourth decade.
Yes, you gave me some of that. We're going to be playing.
Yeah, and I'm super proud of that.
And it's continuing. We're going to play it in the second and third hour. You gave me Friend of the Cow and the Grotesque Pageantry of Fade Nail.
David Stilley wrote most of that, but all of that was improvised one track after another. We just built that up.
Okay.
It's basically all one takes.
So, obviously, Ute Greet. How do you pronounce Ute Greet?
Ute Greet.
Okay, Ute Greet. Ute Greet had a big impact on your life since you still got it going.
Yeah.
And it's a result of you meeting some new people in California.
Yeah. David Stilley, I think, is one of those musical geniuses. He barely had a high school education, but was building his own. He built his own electronic music system using early Buchla materials, some Surge touch plates. There was a brand new company called Emu that did the emulator like that the Resonance did, and he had one of their early voice cards, and he had kind of Frankensteined all these things together, plus two of those multiphonic Casios, NT30s, I think they were. And he had built-in jacks to those things and would use those as the keyboards. I mean, he was just a genius. He played every saxophone, every clarinet. He was a great keyboard player, a fantastic guitar player. He was the bass player in a couple of my bands. He was a great percussionist. I mean, this guy just had no limits.
Now, you stuck to guitar, right?
Well, I'm a multi-instrumentalist because of him. Basically, when I moved to Santa Cruz,
So you moved.
I was only a guitar player.
Yes.
But when I got to Santa Cruz, like everybody and their mother played guitar.
Yeah, right.
And if I was going to play with other people, I had to branch out. So I started playing bass right away.
Whoa! What was your first bass, Joey?
My first bass was a fretless Fender.
Wow. And did it have flat wounds?
I use round wounds because they had the bite that I liked.
I know, but did you tear the neck up? Did it tear the neck up?
It tore the fucking maple neck up.
Do you remember the first gig you played bass at?
Yeah. It was, we had, been invited to this punk rock festival. It was our first gig, it was Ute Greet. It was in Santa Cruz by Jerry Ford, who had this band called Bent. And there were all these punk bands there. And we showed up, and we had this piece called Panic in the Zoo. Parentheses, Ted Nugent is coming. And basically it was clarinet, saxophone, me on bass, and this crazy jazz drummer who was like twice as old as the rest of us.
That happened.
We were into playing free jazz, and we just wailed for like 20 minutes. And at the beginning, people were exhausted. We had saxophones and stuff, and playing, fuck, jazz sucks. You know, that kind of thing. And at the end, the place was dead silent. When we finished, it was just completely dead silent. And there was one guy clapping. This, like, 60-year-old guy named Harry Newmark. And he loved us. And he showed up at every gig we ever played, except for one time when he had to choose between us and John Zorn Cobra. And he chose John Zorn. That was the only gig of ours he ever missed in California.
Now, how did you learn on bass? By doing? By records?
I just trial and error.
Like this big tune at your premier gig, the zoo tune. What?
Panic at the Zoo, yeah.
So what did you come up? How was it composed? How did the band put its music together?
Well, those guys were just wailing their ass off, and I was just trying to keep up with the drummer. I was just playing as hard and as fast as I could with my fingers.
Okay. And the drummer was twice as old as you.
Yeah, he's really fast. And here's the funny thing about that gig. He disappeared right before the gig, and we were looking for him. And we found him, like, crunched in this really tiny space under the stage. And I said, Chris, what's going on? Are you okay? And he's just, like, sweating like a mad dog. He goes, yeah, I'm okay. I just did a bunch of cheap adrenaline.
He had a bunch
it's
of...
like, where do you even get cheap adrenaline? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, that's crazy. So he played, like, super, like,
you're
crazy.
Saying, you're saying cheap adrenaline?
Yeah, right.
And what's that?
Yeah, where do you get that stuff?
Okay, but you said he played good and he kept you up to the thing. Did you continue on?
Oh, my God. It was like nailing torture to the cross. It was great.
But you didn't stay on bass in Ute Greet.
Well, eventually, when we lost our drummer, when we lost the drummer, I started branching out. I was taking violin lessons. I had a violin. I was terrible at it, but still, I achieved an acoustic guitar. I started playing a little electric guitar. I started getting into ethnic instruments. David was into buying, we had the Santa Cruz flea market, and he'd go to the flea market and buy any exotic instrument that he could. So he'd come home with these Macedonian bagpipes and stuff, and he started bringing home string instruments, and if he didn't like them, he'd sell them to me. So I just incorporated them into my array of sound.
David had quite an impact on your musical journey.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
look,
yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour. Joey, we're at the end of the first hour, December 7th, 2022 edition of the Juan Pedro Show. Special guest, Joey Conroy. Hold tight for hour two. December 7th, 2022. It's the second hour of the Juan Pedro Show.
Thank you. was involuntary. I went to school, my daddy made me do it. It was involuntary. I got a job, society made me do it. It was involuntary. I paid my rent, the landlord made me do it. It was involuntary. So many things I never ever wanted to do. Now it seems I'm taking orders, darling. Orders from you. Taking orders from you. Every day there's something somebody makes you do, and it's involuntary. Good things we get a chance to do. It's sad there seems to be so few. So much is involuntary. So listen, babe, I don't need nobody else telling me to do what's still involuntary. So when I say goodbye to you, well, that'll be one thing that's surely not involuntary. So many things I never, ever wanted to do. But there'll be no more taking orders, my darling. Orders from you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show start off the second hour with Oot Greet doing Friend of the Cow. Sam Bennett after that, Involuntary, out of Tokyo, via Birmingham, Alabama. Sam Bennett, yeah, Brother Sam. Muskeg Mudsuck after that out of Alaska with Diolith. Faustito, I think Austin, there is a name. Hammered Holes, just had Alec Mackay, singer man, D.C. area. Staggering Genius. Although Mark Cisneros, the drummer man, has a lot to do with this band, too. Interesting story. And then French TV with Grit and Determination, Terrell dons the bow tie. Joey, enlighten me to this French TV project.
Yeah, they're a Louisville band. My keyboard player was a founding member of that band in Greek, so we're sort of sister bands.
Okay. You share members?
Well, just him. but although just about every member, my drummer came out of French TV, Bob Douglas.
Okay.
Dean Zagoras played in Greek for a while. He's out of French TV. Greg Acker played in French TV for a while. He's out of French TV. So we share a lot of members.
Okay.
Came from them to me, though. I want to say that.
Okay. No problem. And this Oot Greet tune, Friend of the Cow, what era of Oot Greet was it? Was this early Oot Greet?
That was when we first started doing compositions. We just moved to Louisville.
Let's get the timeline straight. So you're going to school at Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz. And then you go back to Louisville?
In 89. I spent the entire decade of the 80s. In Santa Cruz, in San Francisco,
Wow. I think there was a pad called OT Prices, but most of my Santa Cruz gigs in those days was at Catalyst.
Yes, yes. In fact, I saw you at the Catalyst.
Yeah. God, they like ran the rock and roll in that town for many years.
Yeah, they did. I saw so many great bands at the Catalyst.
So when you...
I don't want to say...
Yeah, go ahead.
You're playing... I thought you were like the Jack Bruce of the 1980s. You know what I mean?
Jack Bruce.
It's like Jack Bruce changed the role of the bass.
No, Jack Bruce had a huge effect on me, Joey.
60s. And I think you did the same thing with 80s music. You put the bass forward.
Whoa. You're very kind. Well, I saw other people doing it. It seemed with the punk movement, it seemed everybody was more on a level playing field. You know, the acoustics much different than arena rock, so stuff like drums and bass could come up more, I think.
Yeah.
And also, D-Boom was very generous and let that freak flag fly.
Yeah.
I remember when I turned him on to Cream. When I met D-Boom, the only rock and roll band he knew was Cream's Clearwater Revival. And I could not hear what Steve Cook was playing, but I could hear what Jack Bruce was playing. Oot Greet, it just doesn't stay in Santa Cruz. You bring it back to Louisville.
Right. I brought the whole band as it existed back to Louisville. And at that point, it was just me and David Stilley.
Okay.
We had lost our violist, Serge synthesizer guy, Mark Bradlin. He stayed in Santa Cruz. He didn't want to come. But we were a duo. We were two one-man bands at that point. David had an 8-foot cage of gongs with about 50 gongs hanging around it. 8 foot by 8 foot by 8 foot. And in front of that, he had a drum set on the side. And a ray of horns that were all mounted. Sax, baritone sax, bass sax, soprano sax, alto, and he played them all.
What about tenor?
Contrabass, clarinet.
What about tenor? What about tenor?
He never really played the tenor for some reason.
Okay.
He didn't have one.
Okay, that's probably why.
He had a trombone for a while that he played, though.
The bone. Rocking the bone, bass clef.
He could play the trombone too, you know.
Yeah.
He had a bassoon.
Bassoon.
I mean, he mastered the bassoon. Well,
what about oboe? You know, Roxy Music had that Andy McKay guy rocking the oboe.
Right.
I don't think a lot of rock bands were rocking you. I'll tell you, bassoon. You go see that Sangre Familia in Barcelona, Mr. Gaudi's church. They're still working on 100 years later. Instead of the angels playing harps, they're playing bassoons.
I tell you, man, bassoons are the new rock instrument. I've been saying this for 2 decades now, but I still believe it.
Double reed. They say those people have problems with strokes. Look, I want to play this trippy thing you gave me, 21st Century String Quartet. Thank you. Well, for me, that chunk of music started off with the 21st Century String Quartet, Pause in the Action. Then after that, and I know this is out of Texas, How I Quit Crack, Chris Collins and his wife. Eyelash Lace is the tune. Larry Boast out of Southern Oregon with Freedom of Consequences. Ray Shin out of Reno, his buddy, Tail Gunner. And you were saying something about Cobra in regards to Mr. Zorn. Well, this is Urban right. Bush Ensemble with a tune called Cobra. So first, what's Urban Bush Ensemble about?
Well, when David and I moved to Louisville, the environment was way different. So, you know, we were doing these heavily intellectual kind of compositions and this very abstract free improvisation. Nobody else had an ear for this or knew what we were doing. So we decided to form an alter ego and called it the Urban Bush Ensemble. And it started out as four guitar players playing interlocking guitar parts, not unlike what King Crimson started in the 80s doing. And like an Afro rhythm section. So we had Bob Douglas, my current drummer, was our drummer, and we had this fantastic bass player named Andy Rademacher. And the idea was to play dance music, that the guitars would be the rhythm section, and the rhythm section would be like, just go nuts and be as danceable as they could.
And this was
a tune that I wrote, and somebody told me, this could be a single.
Now, was David in this proj?
Yeah, he was the guitar player. He was one of the guitar players.
Reeds and percussion, he also did guitar. Okay, great. Yeah. He plays everything, really right?
Much better guitar player than I was.
David can play everything.
He could just, I mean,
except
he's natural.
Except the tenor.
Apparently not the tenor.
Okay, now enlighten me to 21st century string quartet, Joey.
Okay, well, Mark Bradlin, who was in Newt Greet in Santa Cruz when we were a trio, was a violist. And I played violin, and I knew this fantastic cellist who lives in San Francisco, Doug Carroll, who is from Birmingham, Alabama.
Ah, Sun Ra, Sam Bennett.
Yeah, and LaDonna Smith, Davey Williams.
Absolutely.
And we had this fantastic female player, Betsy Benke, who was my violin teacher, really.
Whoa.
And we formed a quartet and did some concerts, and that piece was written by Mark Bradlin, the violist.
Okay.
There's a lot of improvisation to it, but it just came out so wonderfully natural that I just love that.
Did you end up writing for him too?
Not for that piece, really. I mean,
well, not for the piece. I mean, for the group, for the proj.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody in my band right now is a really good reader, except for me. So I have to write in order to not have to read their music.
And is 21st Century String Quartet still going? Is it an ongoing concern?
No, that was a San Francisco project.
Oh, okay.
We rehearsed in San Francisco.
Well, you kept Oud Greet going, so I was just wondering. Because basically, Oud Greet is you and David, right?
Right,
so having that...
Well, it was up until 96, and then David left to go back to Santa Cruz.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I didn't know that.
And so I replaced David with Greg Acker and Steve Good.
So you're the only consistent member of Oud Greet?
That's right.
Okay. Something to know. But the spirit lives on.
Yeah, I'm the Robert Fripp of Oud Greet.
And we're at the end of the second hour, December 7th, 2022, edition of Watt Pedro Show, special guest Joey Conroy. Hold tight, fire, three! December 7th, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Lifetime.
I like it.
I don't know. It's kind of overrunning his lyrics. I think maybe it's just.
I don't think so on a recording. I don't think. Maybe live.
Live it is.
Because he's doing the same thing when we're going into the hard stuff.
Watch for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with the Secret Commonwealth doing Eternity. And then Crane, I'm up in Idaho.
You're a pimp.
Flower Children. Then a practice. This is a tape out of practice of children of a nuclear playground. I guess they're getting this tune together. The stories of the takers and leavers. We got to hear how it was being developed there. Then finally, Eugene Chadbourne, Professor Huge, with Joey Conner. I guess it was with Oot Gree.
Yes.
And Draft Morning. Professor Huge has been sending me his solo guitar stuff every morning, but I guess he's going on a tour now, so we'll have a little hiatus. How'd you meet Professor Huge?
Henry Kaiser introduced us.
Henry Kaiser. All right.
Yeah.
I got
Henry's
to do.
Been
I got
a really good friend of mine.
Well, he's a Santa Cruz cat, and you know I got to do both of John Coltrane's suites with him. Actually, I didn't want to. It was Henry made me do it. And I met Henry through. I actually met him as a Minuteman, but then I really got to play with him again through Nels Klein.
Nels is amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, fuck. Incredible cat. Just, we were talking about Jim Hall this morning via email. He lives in New York City now, but I'm always writing him emails and stuff and learning from him.
Nels is one of the greatest living guitar players. I saw him and you doing your engine room.
Ah, sure. First opera. Yeah, 1998.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that Louisville gig.
Fantastic.
It was a weird kind of sports bar. Strange.
I remember standing next to a guitar player friend of mine, Keenan Waller, and Mel's was doing a solo, and his jaw just dropped down, and it kept dropping, and it kept dropping, and I hit him in the shoulder and said, "Breathe, you're going to pass out."
And, you know, he's opened the doors for a lot of these young guitarists to let the freak flag fly, you know, that there's no genre. You just play whatever you want. I just love it. I just love it. Thank you. Thank you, Nels. So hit me to the Secret Commonwealth and Danny Dutton.
Okay. Danny Dutton is this amazing artist who lives on a farm that his family built. His family was one of like the 18 families to move across the Cumberland Gap and settle into Kentucky. And there's actually a Civil War battle that happened on his land called the Battle of Dutton Hill. He still lives there in a house that his parents built, and he built a house and a studio. And he's one of these people that has no limits in the artistic world. He's a writer. He's a photographer. He's a sculptor. He does clay and ceramics. He's a fantastic composer, a great guitarist, keyboard player, poet. I mean, he's just got the full range of – he's a Renaissance man. And he's my favorite singer-songwriter.
And how did you meet him?
I think there's only like a – you know, we did this gig – we had this alter ego thing that we did called Local Universe. It was basically a way for Oot Gree to play museums and stuff like that. And we were playing at the University of Louisville, and he showed up. And everything that we were improvising, but everything we improvised, he turned into a tune somehow. Whoa. I just couldn't understand like how this was happening. And he just seemed like so full of music. It's like everything just became naturally a song that centered around, you know, these directions that he was just putting out with his guitar and homemade instruments even. And I went up to him. He invited this cello player that we were playing with at the time, Hannah, down to, and she didn't want to go by herself. So she asked me, and I brought a bunch of my instruments, and we just ended up recording and just hit it off, and I joined. I've been in every – he composes operas, dance operas.
Wow.
And I played in almost all of those for him. He's got like 7 or 8 dance operas that he's done.
Okay.
And I played a whole lot of different instruments for him.
That's beautiful.
Lot of Asian instruments, a lot of Arabic instruments, that kind of thing. I'm a good oud player.
What is he like? He's like David. He just picks up exotic stuff and – here, try this out, Joey.
He's just a pure artist. I mean, I've never met anybody like him. Anything he wants to do, I'll do it.
Okay. I love people like that.
Even though he lives about 3 hours away, you know.
It's still worth it, right? Yeah.
It's worth it every time. He's a great chef. I mean, you go down and he makes you this meal that you'll never have again in the rest of your life.
Oh, man. He is Renaissance man. Okay, I want to play some more Oot Gree. Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Oot Greet doing the grotesque pageantry of fading empires. Then out of the East Bay, Oaktown, Head Boggle with Mid-Clock. Samuel Locke Ward out of Iowa City, Swing That Hammer. M Mountain Offensive, this is Brother Phil up in Mammoth here, California, but up in the mountains. Also, Sprock Zarathustra, A Space Rock Odyssey, and this is the full thrust version. And finally, Arch Analyst with Facelift, something live at the Belknap Theater in 1994. Hip us to that, Joey.
That was when David, we moved to Louisville, and when David had moved, he hadn't moved, but he went on a three-month Asian tour, came back with a Asian wife. So Oot Greet was left on hiatus, and I didn't want to call it Oot Greet, so everybody who was in Oot Greet at the time, which is the guitar player Dean Zagoras, Steve Good, who's still my clarinet player, and Gary Paler, who was the Oot Greet drummer at the time, formed this band, and I played bass. And I put that tune on there because that's my arrangement of a Hugh Opper tune. Hugh Opper of the Soft Machine is a big influence on me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's his tune. And I wanted to put something where I thought my bass playing was impressive.
You know, Joy, you did real good. As a brother bass player, you did real good. Now, did you ever get into drums?
Never. I was.
Okay, so that's the one. That's the one part of music that you ain't got it. Same with me. Although I will say, some people will say 4-string guitar is the bass. I would say it's a 4-string drum set.
Yeah, well, I play Chapman stick, you know, and I play that kind of percussively.
Ah, okay. How did you get one of those?
Well, I got one I bought one, and it got stolen almost immediately.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Getting married, and I was broke and unemployed. And James Potter, who was in Oot Greet, formerly in Oot Greet, and Henry Kaiser got together and got a bunch of my friends to pitch in and buy me a new one.
You know, I have only one thing experience with a Chapman stick. I never touched one or saw one or played one. But I did get to play the Cream bass. Jack Bruce.
No way.
Pinchy way. Look, Jack Bruce played with Bruce Gary and Mick Taylor in some fusion European tour in the early 70s, mid-70s. And I didn't know anything about this.
Was the keyboard player.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody was telling
me.
Anyway, this guy, Harvey Kubernet, takes me up to Bruce Gary's pad. I thought he was a new wave drummer. I didn't. This guy, very nice man, and he plays a tape of this shit. In about 45 minutes, I thought I was going to die, but he luckily turns it off, and he comes in and brings in another tape, and he plays it, and it's the last Cream gig at Albert Hall. He brings out this bass case. And there's a letter in there saying that he traded a Chapman stick for no amplifier, but Bruce Gary let me play the Cream bass for a half hour. He pauses the tape, the Albert Hall tape, to show me the marks on the bass that are in the fucking video.
Wow.
Yeah, so sometimes you got to sit through some bullshit for some real good thing to happen. That's the lesson I learned. So what you got next, Joey? Where can people find you on the internet?
If you go to YouTube, we've got about a dozen videos posted. A lot of those are interesting because one thing that's not really represented in my work that I sent you is I've played a lot of music for dance. I had an Arabic music group.
Oh, wow.
That we worked up an Arabic music version of Labor Air in A Minor from the Allman Brothers.
Whoa, I'd love to hear that.
Version of it. Really great, an Arabic music ensemble. I played Celtic and Irish music. We called it country and Eastern music.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, we did so a lot of Scandinavian and Irish and Scottish.
Do you record this stuff? If you recorded this stuff, please flow it to me and I'll play it on the show.
Okay, I'll do that.
I'd love to. In fact, I would love to have you back on because we run out of time. Will you come back on so we can hear some of this? I love dance music, man. I think dance was the main motivator of why music came about.
Right. I totally agree.
Okay, so we'll set up another spiel, okay, Joey? Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
I love what you're doing. Keep on keeping on. Ooh, greet everything.
Man, thank you.
Eastern and West. Country and Eastern, everything. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. People, it's been December 7, 2022, edition of Wap Pedro. So keep your powder dry.